You might be thinking, what did we do to Jackson? But more importantly, I think Jackson might be thinking, what did they just do to me? In the Word of God, in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way they will go, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. The Word of God for the people of God. It's a very special day for Jackson Amos Bell. But it may not seem so special to Jackson, not just yet, anyhow. It may seem bewildering and confusion. I saw that little bit on his face as I was walking him around. Now, we can't read his little mind, but if we could, we might hear him asking some searching questions. If we look at him closely, we may be able to see that quizzing look saying, what in the world did you do to me? So I want to try to answer his question. Of course, I'm answering for us this morning rather than Jackson, though I hope that he may be able to hear the answer today. But after some years have gone by, he will be able to understand what we are saying and what we've done here today. So I will talk to all of us. I want you to be the ones who hear as I respond to the question that might be going through Jackson's mind. What are you doing to me? Or what are we doing to Jackson? Jackson, you have participated in a sacrament this morning. I know you can't understand what a sacrament is just yet. You may be having trouble understanding the meaning of that term later on in life. A sacrament involves pledging and covenanting or making a promise. It's also a sign or a symbol, which means that it's an act of representing us to be free to worship the Lord thy God. In the early church, the early Christian church, it also involved a mystery. Perhaps through your life, some mystery will be associated with what we have done to you here today, Jackson. But we hope that as you grow in grace and wisdom, as Jesus did, and understanding, there'll become a meaning for you, and you will be able to better apprehend or comprehend what we did to you on March the 12th, 2017. We have baptized you, Jackson, in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. It's just that simple. We have sprinkled some water on your head and even poured some on with the seashell, which represents Christian baptism. Your baptism is a visible act, but it's also a sign of things which cannot be seen. And that's what I want to tell you this morning, Jackson. What have we done to you, Jackson? Listen, and I will very carefully try to explain it to you. First, we have placed the mark of God's ownership upon your life. And in the ritual, we said something similar to those receiving the sacraments are thereby marked as Christian disciples. A Christian disciple is one who belongs to Christ and seeks to follow him. Now, there's some people who seem to think that a person has to go to the devil before they come to the Lord, and that's certainly not what we believe. You are God's creation, Jackson. And we can't even look at you without feeling that God had performed a miracle in the very presence. You belong to God, Jackson, not to the devil. And we want you to know that early on. Because as early as possible for you to begin then grasp the meaning of what it means to be a child of the living God. God claims you as his own. And we have placed the mark of God's ownership on you by the water and the symbolism of God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. And the water won't last long. It'll disappear. But we're telling you this now because maybe in the months and the years ahead, you will realize that you truly do belong to God, and we don't want you to ever forget it. Secondly, Jackson, by your baptism, you have been initiated into Christ's Holy Church. Not Bethel United Methodist Church, but Christ's Holy Church. Throughout Christian history, baptism has been the rite of the initiation into the church that you've already been attending. You came here a few times. We believe, too, that it is important to be a part of the church. For everything we know about Christ teaches us that come unto me, all the little children, because they are dear to him. We hope and pray that there will never be a time when you feel that you do not belong to the Christian church. It's not simply that we want you to have a sense of belonging, however. It's an important biblical name for the church, the body of Christ. The church is continuing visible in presence of Christ in the world. The church is supposed to be doing all these things in the world, sharing the good news, just as Christ did in Israel many centuries ago. We want you to be a part of this mission and ministry. So we have brought you to baptism, and now God has incorporated you into the body of Christ. What have we done to you, Jackson? Well, your family's been very much involved in what we've done. Your parents brought you to church this morning for this service. Your parents were helping to administer these sacraments and taking a covenant pledge on their own. And many other members of your family, Jackson, surrounded you during the service. But in this service, we have placed you in the context of your larger family. Jackson, you belong to your family, surely, of course, and we're all proud of that. But you belong to a much larger family of God. You belong to God's family. And in the ritual, we said that we were recognizing you as a member of the family of God. That means, first of all, that you are God's child. And before you were dad and mom's kid, you were a child of God. And we want you to never forget that. But it also means that you have a vast number of brothers and sisters and cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents and big, large family. We want you to come to realize that as you grow in wisdom and grace and the people of the church worldwide, that you say, oh, wow, these are all my kinfolk. In a large family, and that means that you have lots of people to care for you and for whom you may want to learn and enjoy their care. Because the Christian church this morning has also made a pledge to help raise you in the Christian environment. So what are we doing to you, Jackson? We're making decisions for you. Now, some people would say that we should wait and let you make up your own mind later and whether or not you want to be a Christian or a member of God's holy church. Now, you will have to make that decision on your own or later when you get a little older. And you're too young to make those decisions now, but we have some convictions about a direction in your life that you should take. And we're not willing to just let you in limbo out there. And these decisions that you will make for yourself maybe in 10, 15, 20 years. And I say we because I especially mean your parents. We are your larger family. Your blood relatives and your Christian family share this sentiment, I'm sure. And already your parents have made a lot of decisions for you. I don't know if you know this or not, but when you have to go to the bathroom, they take care of you and they make a decision to clean you up. And I think you'll appreciate that a little later in life. But they are making decisions for you now, and they make decisions and feed you and take care of you and love you and hold you. But I don't think there's any decision more vital than the decisions about value, about your spiritual life, about your moral training and the disciplines that we're not willing to leave to chance. Later on, you can reject these and repudiate what they have decided for you. But now they're saying that they want you to always be a part of Christ's holy church, to live as God's child, and to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're committed to working towards this end and to help in any way that we can. In this act of baptism, we, your parents, your grandparents, aunts and uncles, and the whole family of God, want to be able to help you in spiritual training and nurturing, just as Travis and Tina has taken the young people over to a worship service of their own kind of music, their own kind of teaching, and it's important to do that, to raise up young people, that they can experience that same hope and joy that we as adults come to understand. They're still growing. The Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. He came into this world like a little baby, just like Jackson and like all of us have. So we want you to learn to pray. We want you to learn to love other people. And we want you to live unselfishly and to give yourself in service to others. In this act of baptism, we have committed ourselves to set that example before you. Oh, we fall short sometimes, but we want to always repent and to be able to come back and say, you know, we fell short too, and This is what we did to get back on the right track. The training and the nurturing that we will hope to give you will lead you in that direction and give you the best quality of life. Jesus said that he came so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. So what are we doing to you, Jackson? Let me tell you now about the most important meaning involved in what we had done in your baptism. We are celebrating God's grace, which is active in your life and active in your behalf. The grace or goodwill is not a recent development. Many centuries ago, it was expressed very clearly in the life, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus Christ. In your baptism, we celebrate God's saving action. Now, as some people understand baptism, all of this is just acting now. It's just a part of the person involved in the act. We don't think that. We believe that God is the primary actor in your baptism, Jackson. And we said that in the beginning of the service, baptism is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual growth. God's grace is divine. God's goodwill is active on our behalf, whether we realize it or not. Jackson, you can't recognize God's activity in your heart yet today. At least so far you can't, but we believe that God has already been working in your life and in your behalf. We call this prevenient grace. God's grace always going before us, wooing us into that love relationship with God the Father. That grace is always active on your behalf, Jackson, and we are celebrating the fact that God is working in your life even before today, and that God will be acting in the goodwill towards you in every moment that lies ahead of you. That is what we call the gospel, the good news, which is God loves you, Jackson. And in time, you will no doubt do things that will displease God. We all do. But God will always love you and will always be acting in goodwill toward you. And that's something to celebrate. We have celebrated that in your baptism today, Jackson, and we are claiming God's promises for you. The Bible is a book of promises, kept human promises too. They're often broken, but God's promise is never broken. And in this service of baptism, we made promises for you, Jackson. And later on in your life, you want to reaffirm these promises for yourself. But God had made a promise to you, promises which he will never break. You can count on God, Jackson. And in your baptism, we have claimed these promises for you this day. Historically, though, baptism is signifying forgiveness and signifying cleansing of new life, that never-ceasing presence of God. All these things were promised to us, and they will also be promised to you, Jackson, in the months and the years ahead. You will fail at times. God knows that. We all have failed at times. And you'll long for divine forgiveness. We call it repentance, and any time that we make a mistake, we repent, which simply means to turn around and going back on the right direction that you were taught. You'll have experiences that seem to put to death certain parts of you, and you'll cry out for new life. You will know that you can't make it on your own, and we are never meant to be alone in this world. That's why God had given us parents and family and friends, so that we are not alone. And more importantly, he recognized that, and he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to show us that we are never alone with God. All of this and more God has promised to all of us. And we have made these promises on your behalf today, Jackson, but more importantly, we have claimed God's matchless grace or matchless promise to you. Now, it's a simple thing which we have done, but oh, so very important. Now, you know, we know that you can't understand it all, but with Christians of every age, we believe that God is acting on your behalf this morning, now working in marvelous ways, including your larger family. But what we have done to you, Jackson, today is that in all the days are yet to come, you can't circumscribe the activity of God in your life and in this world. We can't limit God's action a single moment in time. But in this moment of time, March the 12th, 2017, we have celebrated what God did long centuries ago in the event of Jesus Christ. So what God is doing now and what God continues to do all the days of your life, we believe that this is a very sacred and precious moment this day, and we trust that in time it'll be sacred and precious to you as well. Jackson, Amos Bell, welcome to the kingdom of God.